Amen. 2 Kings chapter 11. I did mention my daughter Hannah. She was up all night throwing up and really struggling. And so Caleb took her to the hospital this morning. Haven't heard anything. Of course, they're giving her fluids and all those kind of things. But be praying, ask you to pray for her. That they'll get her straightened out. That'd be good. How many? Yes, ma'am. Is that right? I don't think I even read the list. What's his last name? Adams. All right, let's pray for Bailey. Lord, do pray for Bailey this morning. God, you know what's going on with his eyes, and I pray you'd reveal it to the doctors that they could help him. And Lord, just do a real work there in his life, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings, hope you're there by now. How many remember Brother Page? Remember Brother Page? Wasn't he a breath of fresh air? If you didn't know Brother Page, he lived to be about 100. Betty Page, who's one of our custodians here, that's her father-in-law. But he was a shouting Methodist, shouting Baptist. Whatever he was shouting and loved to testify. I mean, he would testify at the drop of a hat. And I remember him telling us that he was driving his car one day and probably past the age of when he should have been driving. And he got pulled over by a policeman. And the policeman thought he was under the influence. You know, he thought he was driving. And he said, "Hey, I'm afraid you're, been drinking." He said, "Only influence I'm under is the Holy Spirit of God." And I thought, you know, that's pretty good. You know, the simple matter of fact is, all of us are under the influence of something or someone. If you had to look at your life this last week, who did you allow to influence you? Now, influence is really important. Because whoever influences you is going to help determine the very course of your life. Now, last week we looked at a lady who had great influence. We read about Queen Athaliah. She was a wicked queen who established Baal worship. And hey, Hannah, good to see you this morning. And loved to do wicked things, and she established wicked work and all kinds of things. And she tried to become the queen and kill everybody off the royal line. Remember, the royal line was the line of David. And God kept his promise, as he always does. And God used that insignificant lady to do a mighty thing. And she had great influence. Because of her, the Davidic line continued. Joash's life was spared. And she had a great influence in him. But I want to kind of flip the table this morning and talk about the influence that came in his life. Because again, whether you're 40 or 20 or 60 or 80 or 100, you are being influenced by something or someone. And it will determine the very course of your life. So here we see this wicked queen and Jehoash, or Joash, by the way, if you look at your list there, you'll see, I don't know if it's on your list, he goes by either name. In 2 Chronicles, you may see him as Jehoash. Does it just have Joash on your list? You may see. Yeah, it just has Joash, or actually has Jehoash, okay. But we see him in Scripture here as Joash, same guy. That's why these kings things are so confusing. They have several names. They can be confusing. But Jehoiada the priest took him and raised him in the temple for 7 years. And they made him king. They prepared him. They brought him out. They coronated him. We saw this last week. And then, of course, Athaliah, the wicked queen, was killed. And Joash came to reign. Now, some amazing things took place in his life as he begins to reign. Remember, he is only 7 years old. It's funny, we used to have a little devotional book that we read with our children when they were small. And, you know, had about a paragraph, kind of a synopsis of a Bible story. And this is one I remember because like seven times it said, Joash was only 7 years old. And then you read a bit, and Joash was only 7 years old. You know, when you got done, what's the whole story? Point? Joash was only 7 years old. So here this guy comes to reign as a seven-year-old child. Can you imagine that? Anybody have a seven-year-old in here? I don't think anybody does. Can you imagine? I have a granddaughter who just turned six. Yeah, I can't imagine her sitting on the throne reigning. That'd be exciting. Obviously, the influence behind the king was very, very important. And there were two major influences. One was the law of God or the word of God. Look in verse chapter 11, verse 12. And it says, he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him what? The testimony. What is that? What's the testimony? The law? Gave him the word of God, the law of God. They only had the first five chapters. Hold your place there and flip back to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. And verse 18. Now this is God's rules for the king. Deuteronomy 17, 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law and the statutes to do them, that his heart be lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. As you look at that passage, said the king is to have the law written for what purpose? What's he supposed to do with it? Read it, number one. Number two? Supposed to know it, obey it, keep it. It's going to lead him to fear the Lord. All of those things. Now, here is a great influence in this young boy's life. The word of God. Now I know we talk about this a lot, but folks, if you are not being daily influenced by the word of God, you're going to be daily influenced by the world and your flesh and the devil. You say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. I don't know how to act. I don't know what to do in this situation. Well, hallelujah, get in the word of God and find specific commands or principles that will guide you to help you to know what to do. Look, folks, I know this is a horse that we ride all the time. And I know you're not supposed to beat a dead horse. I don't know where that saying came from. But this is a live horse you need to ride, folks. We need to be daily influenced by the Word of God. It needs to happen. Now, here's a young boy that he was given the law, and he was given it to read it, to learn it, to obey it. By the way, where was he raised for 7 years? In the temple. Good place to be raised, don't you think? And he heard the law being taught. He heard the things being done there. Folks, we need to have the same priority in our lives. Let me give you a couple verses. I read this in my devotions a couple days ago. In Joshua 1:8, you know this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You say, Gary, I want to have a successful life. All right, here's God's formula. Get in it, read it, remember it, meditate on it, obey it. You do that, guess what? You'll be successful. You will be prosperous. Psalm 1:2, in verse 1, it talks about, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sitteth and seeth the scornful, and standeth the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And by the way, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Is that the kind of life you want? You want a fruitful life? 2 Timothy 3:16, another great passage. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. What's it profitable for? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me give you one more. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You say, Gary, I want to live a good life. I want to be godly. How can I do it? Right here. I am amazed, and I'm not going to do a survey today, so you can relax. But I'm amazed how many believers I meet who've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they don't read their Bible every day. Now, I appreciate the thought that you come to Sunday school once a week and you get spiritual food that's enough for the whole week. Now, I think that's a wonderful thought. I appreciate your confidence. It just ain't so. Just not so. Here's a young man who came under the great influence of the Word of God. Okay? But he had another great influence. Look in 11:17. Back in 2 Kings, 11:17. And Jehoiada, who's that? That's the priest. That's the man who raised him for 7 years. Made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people between the king also and the people. So here's another great influence that he came under, not only the law of God, but the man of God. The man of God. The man who taught and explained the word of God. He influenced his childhood. Jehoiada instructed him from the law. Jehoiada, he initiated this covenant. Jehoiada said, you're going to be king. And they made a covenant between the people and the king and God. What was the covenant? We're going to obey God. We're going to obey God. So think of the influence that he's come under here. And by the way, this young man was instructed in the law of God as a child. And I know most of us, our children are up and gone. But take consolation. And I know some of your children are not living the way they ought to live, even though they were trained in the Word of God. I was thinking about this week and talking to someone this morning. I want to remind you. You say, well, what good did it do? I had them in church all those years, and look what they did. I'll tell you one thing. They still know the truth. They still have the truth in their heart. And God can use that truth to bring them back to Him. Yeah. And by the way, if your children are small, and I know we have a few folks that do, boy, you better make it a priority to teach your children the Word of God. Say, when do you start? As soon as they can understand anything. You teach them songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. You have them in church. And by the way, isn't that the greatest way to get under the influence of the man of God? Get in church. Be where the Word of God is being explained and applied. Be there faithfully. Let that influence come in your life. And that's exactly what came in this life. In fact, we read in 2 Chronicles, which is a parallel passage, that Jehoiada even picked out his wives for him. Now, I'm not going to talk about more than one wife and all that stuff. That's another whole topic. But the simple matter of fact is, this man Jehoiada influenced him mightily for God. Right? So, two influences in his life. What were they? One, this is where you answer, the Word of God. And number two, man of God. Thank you. All right. Appreciate those three that are awake. That's exciting. Good. Now, what were the results of that influence? Well, you're in 2 Kings 11. Look at verse 18. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and brake it down, his altars, his image brake they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altar. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. First thing they did, when you get under the influence of the Word of God and the man of God, what are you going to do?
Go kill somebody.
That's exactly right. Thank you. Remember, Joash was only 7 years old. Right? That's why you have a teacher, to explain and to apply the Word of God. First thing they do, they get rid of idol worship. Get rid of idol worship. I tell you what, folks. When you get under the influence of the Word of God and man of God, you'll get rid of some things in your life. There are going to be some things that you're going to say, you know what, that music doesn't belong in my life anymore. That television show doesn't belong in my life anymore. That kind of talking does not belong in my life anymore. The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. My lands. Let me turn my phone on too. We'll just text each other. It'll be exciting. All right. If you want to turn your phones off, it'd be a great blessing. I won't look. Let's pray while you turn your phones off. Good. All right. So they wiped out the Baal worship. But notice what else they did in the end of verse 18. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers. I'm going to skip that part. But you go down all the way down to verse 4 of chapter 12. And it says, Jehoash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that's brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man has set at, and all the money that cometh into every man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. First of all, because of his influences of the Word of God and the man of God, he tore down the Baal altar. They got rid of Baal worship, and they reestablished worship of the Lord. The temple was about 140 years old at this point, was decayed. Athaliah had taken a lot of the things out of the temple and had used them in their Baal worship. There were breaches, there were holes, there were problems. Here is a man who said, you know what, my first priority is fix the house of God. The house of God's important. Now, why did he have that priority? Why did he do that? Because he had two influences in his life, the Word of God and the man of God. And those influences determined his very course of his life. So they set out to repair the house of God. It's in shambles. Now, what's interesting is as we read that verse 4 and on, this is 23 years into his reign. Now, he had asked these guys to do this. The beginning didn't happen. And so he said, all right, tell you what we're going to do. Verse 9, Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. He said, I'll tell you what, you guys haven't done your job. I've been on you for 23 years to fix the temple. You haven't done it. He said, make a chest, put a hole on top of it, put it by the altar. People come in, they give money. When it's full, you give it to the workmen, they repair the house of God. And so that revival takes place under Joash's rule and Joash's reign. Pretty good, huh? Pretty positive stuff. Now, in fact, I skipped a verse. Look back in chapter 12 and verse 2. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days. Now notice, there's a caveat here. What is it? Wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So as long as he had this godly influence in his life, he did really well. So that's the positive side. But let's read on in chapter 12, verse 17. And then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. That's where the temple is. That's where Joash lives. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his fathers, kings of Judah, had dedicated in his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. Now, we've been talking about this great guy. This godly man who made a covenant with God and with the people, they're going to go God's way. And he got rid of the Baal worship and they fixed the temple. And here comes the enemy. And what do you expect to read? If I hadn't read all that to you already, what should have happened? And Joash went to the Lord and said, Lord, the enemy's coming and we're not strong enough. Lord, help us. Didn't happen. Instead, he pilfers the temple. He takes all the things of the used in the worship of Jehovah God and he gives them to the king. What? Why in the world did that happen? What are you thinking? Now, I want you to flip over to the parallel passage, which is 2 Chronicles 24. And we find some more things that are not listed in the king's passage. 2 Chronicles 24, 18. Second Chronicles, right after First Chronicles, right after Second Kings. If you're near John, you're in the wrong side of the book. I think this is the food list. I think it's gone everywhere. Still need some people to help fill. I'll send an email and we'll take care of that later. Thank you, sir. Unless, Mark, you want to take care of it. Good. Fix the rest of that food. Verse 18, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers. This is talking about the king and the rulers, and they served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. What happened? This godly king who had this great influence in his life, for some reason, decides to reestablish the worship in the groves and the high places. And you know why they did that, by the way? Where were they supposed to worship? Jerusalem, at the temple. Why did they worship in these other places? Now, there's a couple reasons. Convenience. You know, we want to worship the Lord, but it's a long way. Go all the way to Jerusalem. We've got these high places. Now, what were the high places in the groves formerly used for? Idol worship. Yeah, idol worship. And so they said, you know, we've got these places we can worship. Let's just worship there. Which led them to idolatry. Now, I'd really like to preach a whole sermon on this. But folks, whoever said there is nothing new under the sun, isn't that what happens today? You know, we want to worship the Lord, but man, this Sunday morning, Sunday school, and then church, and then Sunday night, and then Fanatics, you know, Wednesday night. I mean, that's asking a little bit too much. We want to worship the Lord, but this preaching stuff, I mean, we need some entertainment, you know. We want to worship the Lord, but, you know, this music, it's I don't know where you get that stuff at. I mean, we need some of today's music. We need some entertainment. We need some excitement. In fact, we'll just stay home and watch it on TV. Now, if you're at home and you're sick watching on TV, Miss Wampler, that's okay. I'm not talking to you. Isn't that what's going on in the world today? We want to worship the Lord, but we want it to be convenient. We don't want to change our life a whole lot. We just don't want to feel guilty, okay? And so we have all this feel-good preaching and all this junk that's going on. Folks, things haven't changed a bit. Haven't changed a bit. So these guys turn back to idol worship. Well, it gets worse. You're there in 2 Chronicles. And it says in verse 20, the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. Now, let's stop for a second. Who's Jehoiada? What did Jehoiada do? He's the one whose wife saved the life of Joash, trained him, made him king, helped him. That's the guy, okay? Here's his son. The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God. Boy, there's his mistake right there. He should have said, hey, I want you all to feel good. Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he also hath forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of who? King Joash. In the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. Whoa, what in the world just happened? What has happened to this guy? I mean, here is a guy who was raised in the temple. He had the law of God. He was taught the law of God. He was trained by the man of God. Boy, he's under some great influences, and he did well for a long time. But boy, toward the end of his life, things just fell apart. And he's involved in idol worship, and he kills the son of the man who saved him and made him king. What in the world is going on in his life? Well, you're in 2 Chronicles. Look in verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. What did he lose? What did Joash lose? He lost that godly influence, didn't he? Lost the godly influence. And instead, what kind of influence did he get? Verse 17. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. And here they come, all the princes of Judah. And they said to Joash, you're the man. You are somebody. You're the greatest king. You're great. You're wonderful. And it says, the king hearkened unto them. Well, what did they ask for? Well, verse 18. And they left the house of the Lord God their fathers and served groves and idols. See, these are the guys that came to him and said, you know, King, Jerusalem's a long way to go. If I could just go on the internet and watch church every Sunday, I don't quite understand. There's a church here in town, and they don't have a pastor. They just watch him on TV and on a big screen. I'd just stay home, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm thinking, if I'm going to watch him on a screen, I can be in my pajamas and watch them home a lot easier. You know? These guys came to the king and they said, you know what? It'd be a lot easier if we just worshiped in the groves and the high places. And they led to idolatry. And so instead of having the man of God influence him, the world came in and influenced him. And before long, this godly man who has reestablished the worship of Jehovah made a covenant with God. He is involved in idol worship. His influence changed. And his life changed. Now, the results of that in his life, we read in this passage that later on, of course, we already read about when the king from Syria came and he gave him all the stuff of the temple. Eventually, that king comes back and they war, and the king of Syria had a small army and defeated Jerusalem, defeated them. Joash is injured. He is hurt in the battle. And then an amazing thing happens. It says his servants rise up and killed him. You know why? Because they were loyal to Jehoiada and Zechariah. And here's a man who came into the wrong influences and it changed his life. And his life ended, he was powerless. He was an idol worshiper. It says he was buried in Jerusalem, but he was not buried in the tomb of the kings. There was no honor for him in his death. Several weeks ago, I went over to the graveside service for Miss Curley, and I know there were trouble. There was things at the end and so forth. But the guy who preached got up, and all he did was he took her old Bible, and he read notes in her Bible, passages she's underlined in her Bible. And his comment was, you can tell a lot about a person by their Bible. And she was honored because she'd honored the Word of God. Now, Joash started out great. He did great. because he was influenced by the Word of God and the man of God. But there came a point in his life where he allowed worldly, ungodly people to influence him, and he followed their lead, and he turned to idolatry. And because of it, his life ended. He was powerless, didn't have the presence of God, the power of God, and he had no honor in his death. By the way, I've been to other kinds of funerals too. Well, you know, he made a profession, but isn't that a terrible way to die? Well, they said they were saved, and, you know, they never went to church. And they did all this and did this and did this, but they said they were saved. Well, I don't want to die that way, do you? That's how he died. No honor. And it's all because of what he allowed or who he allowed to influence him. Now, believer, look, we love you. We want the best for you. And the best for you is to get into God's Word every day and read it and remember it and meditate on it and obey it. Let it change your life. Let it influence you. And hallelujah, get yourself under a man of God, hallelujah, and be there faithfully and let the Word of God be taught and preached to you and let it influence you and let it change you and be there. And if you will do that, folks, you'll live a successful life. You will prosper. You'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. It's all a matter of what you allow to influence you. Now, there's a lot of things out there that want to influence you. A lot of people. Most of us have these big boxes in our house, and they're really this thin now. Some of you have really thin ones. You know what the purpose of that thing is? To influence you. Steady diet of that stuff, it'll influence you, all right. It'll direct you. So my admonition this morning, folks, hallelujah, let's make a covenant to get in the Word every day and to allow the Word of God to influence us and change us and make us into what we ought to be. Let's make a covenant. Whenever the doors are open, the Word of God is being preached or taught, let's be there. Let's be there. Let's let God minister to us and influence us and change us for the kingdom of God, that we might not end up like Joash. We might have a life that is successful and prosperous and blessed of God. Okay? All right. Lord, we do thank you for this example. Lord, this week, we're all going to make choices about who influences us, what influences us, and I pray that you would help us to make the right decisions, that we might have right influences in our life, that we might do what's right, that we might please you, that we might be prosperous. God, have your hand upon us this week. Help us to obey you in all things, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great to have you this morning. Lord bless you. Next Sunday, Easter. Oh, it's exciting. One of the things that made